The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Thanks for listening to the Town Hall Review with Hugh Hewitt podcast, bringing to you the best voices on the stories and issues that matter. Here's another piece I'll trust you enjoy.
We are honored to have with us my former boss, the 45th President of the United States, Donald J. Trump. Mr. President, welcome to America First.
Hi, Sebastian. I'm lucky I spotted you. See, you're nice and tall, so I was able to spot you. Otherwise, I would have been in big trouble if I didn't see you. You've been so great. So anyway, and I thank you for that.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. All right, let's begin with the thing that was most of concern to you the last time we met at Mar-a-Lago. I have to ask on behalf of the millions of people who are listening right now, how concerned are you, Mr. President? You are trouncing the current incumbent. You became the nominee with such ease. Are you certain, are you confident that this election at least will be secure and fair?
They've cheated for many years, decades, I hear. I was witness to it the last time, and that was, in my opinion, absolute. It was a disgrace. We won that election. It was a rigged election. And look at what's happened between the borders of Afghanistan and Ukraine being attacked by Russia. This would have never happened. And with Israel, the attack on Israel October 7th, all of this is all of the things that would never have happened. Inflation would have never happened because I had energy low, and when he came in, it doubled and tripled, and it threw the whole system off. It's just so, I mean, think of what the world would have been like if we had an election where we had a fair election, just to put it nicely. I want to be nice. If we had a fair election. So they're going to try and rig it. I have no doubt about it. They've been doing it for years. And look, how can you win on open borders, high interest rates, a woke military, all the things that they talk about, all electric cars? How about all electric cars? They don't go far, they cost too much, and they're made in China. How do you do that? So how can they win with what they do? Their policies are so bad. The thing they do best is cheating at elections and misinformation, like the word bloodbath, which they've used 100 times over the last year about describing things. And I used it about trade, essentially auto trade, because we're getting ripped off with Biden's really dumb auto policy. I tell you what, if any auto worker, United Auto Worker or other, if any auto worker voted against Trump, they are not the smartest people. If they vote against Trump, if you look at what Biden's done to that industry, it's incredible. In a short period of time, the electric mandate will destroy it completely.
You mentioned the border, sir. The State of the Union was recently. The current incumbent was incapable of even mentioning correctly the name of Laken Riley. You took time to meet with his parents. I have to ask you, as the man who secured the border when you were the chief executive, what is the Democrat plan? Is it simply to turn tens of millions of illegals into citizens and then lock in their constituency by breaking the U.S. Constitution? Why would they let at least 8 million illegals into this country in the last 3 years, sir?
I think that's what their plan is. Look, at first I would say, you know, because they cheat so much, they don't really need to do that. They cheat so much with the ballots and everything else that they probably don't need to do that. But we think we have that locked down. We hope we have it locked down. You know, they always come up with another way of doing it, like broken machines all over the place. If you look at Kerry, the machines were broken. Everybody waited until Tuesday, which Republicans have historically liked to do. And then they got out and the machines were broken. Tremendous percentages of machines were just broken. And the courts don't give relief. It's just, it's hard to believe. But I guess their plan is the votes, I guess, because who would allow this to happen to our country? Yeah. They're allowing people from prisons and jails. They're allowing people from mental institutions and, you know, on steroids is insane asylums. I always say Silence of the Lambs. It's Hannibal Lecter, one of the spooky movies, I will tell you. But they allow They're allowing people from mental institutions and prisons, and they're allowing terrorists into our country at levels never seen before. And Venezuela, I don't know if you saw, their crime is down 67%. I'm sure this makes you happy. Their crime is down 67% because they've gotten all their gang members and all the bad ones and the rough ones, and they put them into the United States. Can you believe this?
Well, it's not just the criminals that they are letting into this country, thousands of illegals every single day. It's also the weaponization of the judiciary. I still can't comprehend. I've seen you say it at Mar-a-Lago, at CPAC and elsewhere. You joke about what they're doing to you, the weaponization of the FBI and the judiciary. Our good friend and colleague, Kash Patel, and Lee Smith have theorized that the raid against you, sir, the only president to ever be raided by armed agents of the FBI, was over the binder of documents you declassified regarding the Russia hoax. Do you think that's why the FBI is coming after you with these absolutely political accusations and persecutions?
It could be. You don't know. It's very deeply seated. You know, when I fired Comey and a lot of other people, you know, I fired a lot of people that were bad for us, but Comey in particular, he was the head of the FBI, a disaster. It was a disaster. He was the one with Hillary Clinton where nothing rose to the occasion. They had her, so-called. But with me, I mean, if you take a look at what they did with her, you look at a double standard. I mean, the ultimate is Biden. He had many, many, many times more documents, more everything. He had no security, no nothing. They were on the garage floor of a flimsy garage with no Secret Service. I had Secret Service all over the place. He had his documents sent to Chinatown.
Yeah.
And those boxes were used. Did you look at those boxes?
I saw
those
the Zappos box.
Like
I saw
used the on a daily basis.
The busted up Zappos box in which he kept top secret information.
Absolutely. I mean, you look at that. It was really. But you look at that as a double standard. You take a look. This is not justice, and they let him off the hook. And I did nothing wrong because I come under the Presidential Records Act. I did absolutely nothing wrong. Plus, Mar-a-Lago is a secure place, and you have Secret Service here because I'm president, and you have. And when I'm not president, I have a lot of Secret Service here, and all of the other things. And he gets off scot-free, and with me, I have to go through a process, but I think it's going to work out fine because I did nothing wrong coming under the Presidential Records Act, which he didn't come under. But think of it. They let him off scot-free and no problem. And with me, I have to go through a process. It's a disgrace what's happening in this country. The good news is the people see it. They see it. And we have the highest poll numbers I've ever had. I mean, that's good. We knocked off all the Republicans quickly in record time. You know, that was record time.
Yes.
I don't know if you keep score of things like that, but it was the fastest ever. And that's good. And now we're focused on one person, and that's Biden, crooked Joe Biden, the worst president in the history of our country. We have never had a worse president. And, you know, I say oftentimes at a rally or wherever, if you took the 10, I used to say 5 worst. Now I say 10 worst. I think I could go up to 15 pretty soon. I think I will. If you took the 10 worst presidents and added them up, they wouldn't have done the damage that this man has done to our country.
But
and I think you believe that.
But do you think it's him? There are lots of theories as to, I mean, you look at him, he's not cognitively competent. Who's really running the country? Is it Obama? Is it Jill? Is it the Obama flunkies across government? Who do you think's really destroying America?
I often ask the same question about him. Is it him? Because he's so out of it. You know, where does he even come up with ideas? I assume that's what you're talking about, right?
Yes.
Because you're almost saying, like, as evil as it is, it's like ideas, and it's really bad stuff. And I'm not sure that it's him. I know he must approve it. They must look at him and say, can we do this? And he looks at him with a blank stare and says, yes, right? Nobody. It's the people in look, it's Lisa. And it's all these guys that surround that Oval Desk. It's guys like Andrew Weissman that, you know, because she essentially works for him. And Lisa Monaco.
Monaco, at the Department of Justice.
She essentially works for him. So I would say it's her and it's a group of people that surround that beautiful Resolute Desk. I don't know if it's Biden. I don't know. To me, I don't see it because he's so out of it. You don't think he even thinks so. He just wants to go to sleep. But he's surrounded by people that are vicious and smart, and they've been after me for years, and they continue onward. And if they devoted the same energy and talent to making America great again, we'd be a much better country right now.
You talked about the security of Mar-a-Lago, the Secret Service protection you have. I just want to raise one issue that is of concern to serious individuals and patriots. My good friend Dan Bongino, who you know is a former Secret Service agent, both he and Alan Dershowitz, who's a Democrat, on my show have both voiced their serious concerns for your safety. Are you worried that the left are so insane with regards to Antifa, the normalization of violence, about you and your family's safety, Mr. President?
Well, I've found Secret Service to be great, and I watch it very closely. I think they're great people. I know many of the agents, and, you know, I've had many, many agents, and I find them to be doing a great job. And I would tell you otherwise. I wouldn't even want them otherwise. They have really found, I think they're very outstanding people. Now, in every agency, you have people that aren't so outstanding, right? I mean, no matter what you do, no matter how you play it, but I found them to be terrific, absolutely.
Good. So the big news of the first 24 hours of your next presidency, if we make it happen, God willing, is what happens in Ukraine with regards to Russia. Could you talk to us about the art of the deal when it comes to stopping the bloodshed in Europe?
Sure. Before I do that, I just want to add one other thing on Secret Service.
Yes.
They just totally refuted the Cassidy Hutchinson,
yes,
who I barely knew. I wouldn't even know what she looks like, except I've seen her after the fact. But Cassidy Hutchinson's ridiculous story that I essentially attacked two Secret Service, nice, young, strong guys, I'm attacking them, in the front of, I think she called it the Beast, when it wasn't the Beast.
No.
It was a different kind of a car. But she originally, I believe, said it was the Beast. But think of it. She makes up this story. They refuted it in its entirety and strongly. Now, the problem is the J6 committee of, I call it the unselect committee. They're unselect. The unselect committee destroyed all the evidence and everything. They destroyed everything. I hear that Cassidy Hutchinson changed a lot of her testimony. And I say, what's going to happen to her? She made up testimony that I was attacking two very powerful, physically powerful people. And a lot of my friends said, oh, gee, I never knew you were that much into fighting. You know, I like watching UFC, but they didn't know. They said, I never knew you were that into fighting. But the whole thing was such a fake story, and it was made up. It was just made up. And Secret Service totally refuted it. And so I do want to say that because it's important.
Yes. 'Cause
I found them to be very reliable, very good. As far as Ukraine is concerned with Russia, number one, it should have never started. It would have never started. It wasn't going to happen. There was never any discussion. I did discuss with Putin on numerous occasions his love affair with Ukraine. I mean, it was the apple of his eye. He would have never done it when I was there. And there were certain reasons, very strong reasons, very, very strong reasons. He wouldn't have done it. And he wouldn't have done it for another, maybe more practical reason. I had oil way down at a very low point, energy, oil, and he makes most of his money from oil, and oil was low. When Biden came in, he upset the energy apple cart. You know, we were energy independent, and now we're not. We go begging for energy from everybody. We have more than anybody else, but we have to go begging. So when he came in, Sebastian, he screwed up energy. That caused inflation, but it also gave a lot of money to Russia. Now, I happen to think that, you know, in terms of they were making money hand over fist, at $40 a barrel, they don't do great. At $100 a barrel, they never saw anything like it. And that was for a long time. And now it's going up again. Oil is going up again, if you notice.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going up very substantially, very quickly. But think of it. So he is making all of this money, and he goes in. But I happen to think that the horrible, most embarrassing day or moment in the history of our country was the withdrawal, the way we withdrew from Afghanistan.
Yeah.
And we left $85 billion worth of equipment behind. We lost 13 soldiers. What nobody ever talks about, we have 38 soldiers, 39 soldiers that were horrifically hurt. Hundreds of people were killed on both sides. hundreds, and we have American hostages still there. I mean, they're still there. That was the worst thing, and that showed such great incompetence that I happen to think that that really led to Putin saying, this is the time, let's go. These guys are incompetent. They don't know what they're doing. And he went into Ukraine. With that being said, it was easy then. It's much more difficult now. But the reason, the sad thing is we now have hundreds of thousands of dead people, and we have cities and a culture that's been blown up. I mean, many of those cities are gone. They were been wiped off, those beautiful ancient towers of gold. They've been wiped off the planet. They can never be resurrected in that form. And that form was a beautiful form. So all of that is gone. And so nothing you can do now could ever have competed with the fact of no war. There would have never been a war. Not even to make a deal. I could have made a deal, but I wouldn't have even had to make a deal. Could have stayed the way it was. There would have never, it would have never happened under me, under my administration. Okay, so now it's all done. Biden has made a mess of that like he has every other thing. You have hundreds of thousands of dead people, and you have cities that are blown to pieces. What do? We have to get both of them together, and I say, you got to get this thing done. You're going to get it done. And I will say certain things to each one of them that I wouldn't say to the rest of the world, and that's why I can't tell you much more than that, but I believe that I will get it done. I know Putin very well, and I know Zelensky fairly well. Zelensky was very honorable with the phone call because he said, no, I wasn't threatened at all. He could have played that out and made a big deal out of it. He said, I wasn't threatened at all by President Trump. It was a very nice call. I mean, that call turned out to be a perfect phone call. I called it. I mean, I actually called it. And they knew it because they had the laptop from hell. But anyway, but he played it very honorable. You know, he could have, you understand what I mean, Sebastian.
Yes.
He could have grandstanded, oh, I felt threatened, et cetera, et cetera. He wasn't threatened at all. And he said that, which destroyed their case, their no case, because fortunately they had that call recorded. And once they had the recording, that whole thing died, and it died fast. But what a shame that the country has to go through all that by these dishonest guys like Schiff, Shifty Schiff. He is so bad. And to think he'll possibly and probably be a senator is so disgraceful to this country. It's such a downer for this country to have a guy like that in the Senate who's lied and everything else. But I would get them together, and I would make a deal. And I'll get it done. And I know exactly what to say. But if I say it to you or if I say it to the public, I can't say it anymore. But it's a chess match. You know, it's a giant, very important chess match. It's a poker game. And we got to get it done. Biden said the worst things. I mean, initially, he was just, I don't blame anybody other than Putin. And I don't blame anybody other than the people involved. But Biden was so bad in terms of not stopping it. He could have stopped that easily. But everything he said was almost the opposite of what he should have been saying. He is not much of a chess player. They're good at cheating on elections, but they're not good at a lot of other things, that I can tell you.
It's not just Ukraine, however, Mr. President. We now have a war in the Middle East. For 4 years, there was no war under your tenure as commander-in-chief. You have proven yourself to be the most pro-Israel, most philo-Semitic president since the rebirth of Israel in 1948. You moved the embassy. You recognized Jerusalem. It's one of my great regrets that I was invited to the reopening of the new embassy that Ambassador Friedman created in Jerusalem. I couldn't go. Could you explain why is it seemingly that this administration, including Chuck Schumer in the Senate, so hate the man that Israel chose as their prime minister? Why do the Democrats hate Bibi Netanyahu?
I actually think they hate Israel.
Yes.
I don't think they hate him. I think they hate Israel. And the Democrat Party hates Israel. And the Democrat Party, if you remember when many Israeli representatives, including Netanyahu, when they came to the country trying, begging, at that time President Obama, please don't make the Iran nuclear deal, which is a disaster and was a disaster. And I ended it. But unfortunately, they didn't do anything with the ending of it. I ended it and would have had a new deal made with Iran. It would have been good for everybody, and there would have been no nuclear weapons. You know, they're very close to getting a nuclear weapon right now.
Yes.
And once they have that, it becomes a different form of negotiation, a much more difficult negotiation. But they, I really believe they hate Israel, and they also see a lot of votes. Don't forget, when you see those Palestinian marches, even I'm amazed at how many people are in those marches. And guys like Schumer see that, and to him it's votes. I think it's votes more than anything else, because he was always pro-Israel. He's very anti-Israel now. Any Jewish person that votes for Democrats hates their religion. They hate everything about Israel, and they should be ashamed of themselves, because Israel would be destroyed. You have Iran now making a nuclear weapon. None of that would have happened with me. That's a big thing. With me, Iran was broke. They were absolutely stone-cold broke. There was no terrorism because they didn't have money to fund Hamas and Hezbollah and the other 28 groups. They had no money. They were stone-cold broke. China couldn't buy oil from them. None of the countries were buying oil for them at my order. They didn't buy it. I said, you buy it, you're not going to do business with the United States of America. They said, we'll pass, and they didn't buy oil. And they were broke. Now they have $221 billion, including the $6 billion that we gave them for hostages. Yeah. Okay, we gave them $6 billion, including the $10 billion that we gave them so that Iraq could get electricity. How about that? We gave them $10 billion so Iraq gets electricity, and Iraq wants to throw us out. The whole thing is crazy. These people are the worst. There's something wrong with them. They are the worst negotiators. All they're good at is evil. They're evil people. Yeah. They're sick. They're evil. They weaponized the Justice Department to get Trump. But Russia and all these other countries can do whatever they want to the United States. China is like, we're like a puppet for China now. He doesn't do anything with China because they gave him so much money. He's a Manchurian candidate. Look, he's the worst president in the history of our country by 10 times. There has never been anything like it. Jimmy Carter is the only one happy, because he is a brilliant president compared to Biden.
Do you think that
brilliant, totally brilliant president compared to Joe Biden?
Do you think that it's actually because they're compromised, the likes of Schiff that you mentioned, Biden? Do you think the Chinese have something on them?
I think they have them on Biden, yeah. I think they have it on Biden. Probably have it on Schiff, too. But I think they have something on Biden. I think there's no reason that Biden could be so weak with China. There's no reason. It's pathetic. He's a Manchurian candidate, I'm telling you. It's ridiculous. And frankly, until they did the I would never speak in such harsh tones about the presidency because I have such respect for it. But when they indicted me on all of this nonsense, including local stuff, everything, you know, you saw where Fani or the boyfriend or both went to the Justice Department and the White House, had long meetings, 8-hour meetings, numerous days. This was all planned. This was all done by the White House. And when they did that, I say, well, now I can just talk freely in the way I want to talk. He's the worst president in history. There has never been worse. Our country is in trouble, and our democracy is in trouble because of him for a number of reasons, including the fact that he's incompetent. But for a number of reasons, our democracy is in tremendous trouble because of Joe Biden.
Well, let's talk about
weaponized the Justice Department against his political opponent, something that was unthought of for our country. Very, very commonly used in third world countries, by the way.
It's police state tactics. It's police state tactics. That's why, the FBI now stands for Fascist Bureau of Intimidation, truly. Let's talk about our side for a moment. The last time we met in person at Mar-a-Lago, I asked you about Rona Romney McDaniel, and you swore me to secrecy. You said, we're getting rid of her. Finally, Lara has taken over. I'm very excited that the person I mentioned to you, Scott Pressler, has been hired by Lara and the RNC. But I have to ask you, are we there, Mr. President? Have we arrived? Is the Republican Party now MAGA? Is it America First? Finally, or is it still full of rhinos?
95% MAGA, and you know when I get a kick out of it. You saw how quickly we disposed of my competition. That's because it's a MAGA party. It's Make America Great Again. We want our country to be great again. We're not a great country right now. We're left at all over the world. We owe $35 trillion. The whole thing is crazy. We are not. When I see us giving billions and billions of dollars to Taiwan and other countries. You know, Taiwan, don't forget, Taiwan stole our chip industry. We had 100% of the chip industry. Now they have 95% of the chip industry. They're a very wealthy country. And I'm all for Taiwan. I'm all for everybody. But why are we giving them $16 billion, okay? They should be giving us $16 billion. Why are we giving them $16 billion? I'm for make America great again. It's very simple. Make America great again. And I'm not for handing out, parceling money. We had the greatest border, the strongest border in the history of our country. We had the greatest economy in the history of our country. We rebuilt the military. We had no wars other than I finished the ISIS war. We took over, as you know, better than anybody. You speak about it better than anybody. We took out 100% of the ISIS caliphate. I did it in 4 weeks instead of 5, 6, 7 years, which is what I was told it would take if we could do it at all. I did it in 4 weeks. We have a great military. And you don't have to worry about our military going woke. They're not going to go woke. But the top people would like it to. But they don't have the strength to make our military. Our military is not woke, and it's not going to be woke. But they would like to try, and they are trying. They had Milley and these guys. They are trying. Amazingly, they're trying to make our military weak.
If you are back in the White House, as I said when I was working for you, I stole a phrase from the Marine Corps to explain your foreign policy, which is no better friend, no worse enemy. So, you know, the world will be stable. There'll be no more, new wars, and our friends, our allies will feel secure. My question is, what happens internally, Mr. President? Because we see you facing 700 years in prison on trumped-up charges. We see Catholics being surveilled by the FBI because they go to Latin Mass. We see a quarter of a million of illegal warrantless surveillance on people who simply are supporters of you, Mr. President. How hard is it going to be to drain the corrupt officials and the permanent bureaucrats inside the intelligence community, the FBI and the DOJ? Because changing the leadership will not be enough, in my opinion.
Yeah, well, the leaders are going to have to make those changes, and they're going to have to do a very complete job. I made a lot of changes, but that swamp is deep. Look, Comey was a big change. You know, getting rid of Comey was not something that was and I did it very early. You know, a lot of people said you should have done it sooner. Well, you know, I did it very early, within a few months. And I saw that with Hillary Clinton, what he did, how he did that. The whole Hillary thing was so sad. And indirectly, it ended up hurting her. You know why? Because the FBI revolted on him. When he went up there and he started saying all of the bad things she did, the FBI revolted on him. I think they would have literally gone out. That was what was happening. And then he went back and he said, well, let me rethink it, essentially, right? And he had to redo everything. But no, Comey was bad news. I got him out. I got a lot of people out. A lot of people, many, many people out. But it's deep. It runs deep, and we'll do it. We were interrupted by a thing called the China virus.
Yeah.
And, you know, we did a great job in that. Never got the credit for the job we did. I ended up handing over a stock market that was higher than just previous to COVID coming in. I did a great job in that. We had empty cupboards from past administrations. And it wasn't me. We had empty cupboards. We didn't have anything. We didn't have gowns. We didn't have masks. We didn't have anything. We didn't have ventilators. We became the king of ventilators. We made them literally. We ended up making them for the whole world. But we did a great job in that. But it was a big interruption, obviously. The one interesting thing, I told you this once before. When I came to Washington, I was a New York person, New York developer. I knew New York very well, but I was only in Washington 17 times, didn't know a lot of people, et cetera. And I came in, and I got to know the people. I know them now. I think I know. I know the good ones and the dumb ones and the smart ones and the bad ones. And I know the people. I know that whole world now very well. And we have unbelievable, unbelievable people that are going to go in and people that are loyal to our country. I don't want him to be loyal to me. I want him to be loyal to our country.
Talking of your picks, I've been told who you are considering as vice president. I've been told I can't announce it until it's official. When are you thinking of making that announcement, sir?
No hurry. And there is no one person. I mean, I'll tell you, there are numerous people. But we have a lot of great people in the Republican Party. We have a lot of great people that nobody ever heard of in the Republican Party, you know, that are excellent senators that not a lot of people know. I think it's probably good to have somebody with some political experience because you learn you learn a lot about a person. That's not, you know, this politics is a cleansing action. You understand what I mean, Sebastian?
Yes.
It's a cleansing action. And, you know, you pick a politician, but then you look at a guy. Take a look at Schiff. Look how dirty he is, how filthy dirty he is. And yet he's allowed to ride along and maybe become a senator soon. It's crazy. It's crazy. It shouldn't be allowed to happen.
No, absolutely corrupt. The most mendacious person on Congress, and that takes some doing. Last question, sir. I was in the ballroom at Mar-a-Lago in November 22 when you announced your re-election campaign launch. And despite having worked for you and been in the White House, it was like a gut punch halfway through that speech that I recommend all of our listeners and viewers watch, because it struck me that you are prepared to do it again. After everything they put you through, the calumny, the smears, the lies, the attacks on you, your wife, your children, would you explain, you know, you could have gone back to your world, you know, global business, the real estate, the golf courses, lived your life as a private citizen. Why on earth would you wish to put yourself and your family through this again for another 4 years?
And by the way, if I did that, or if I were in third, fourth, fifth, or seventh, or eighth, or 10th, or 15th place, like some of these people, like Asa Hutchinson, where he never registered at one point, I don't think.
Yep.
I mean, he was at zero, and he ran for a year. If I was there, I would have never been indicted. I would have, I call them Biden. They're not indictments. They're Biden indictments. It's weaponization, and it's a disgrace. But none of that stuff, none of the things that I have going right now against, you know, the horrible persecution, none of that would have happened, but that's okay. Ultimately, the reason is simple. I love our country. I see the potential in our country. I know how well we did in the last election, much better than I did in the first. Do you know, if I felt that I lost the last election, I would never have run. But we won the last election by a lot. And I'm running because of that and because of the fact that we have still tremendous potential. But we have to bring it back because we're at the abyss. We have tremendous potential. We're going to make America great again. It's a very simple theme, make America great again. That's why I'm doing this. And we can do it, and we can do it quickly. We have to do things that are going to be tough and strong, but we can do it quickly. They've set our country on a course that it will self-destruct very quickly. It's a disaster what's going on. The only thing good is the stock market. And many people have said, many analysts have said, one of the best analysts said, the only reason the stock market's up is because Trump, it looks like he's going to get elected. And if he were not elected, the stock market would crash like 1929. I happen to believe that. So I'm
is that
America great again.
Is that Scott Bessent you're talking about?
I think he's fantastic. He's a very respected guy, right?
Sir,
and Scott did indeed say that, yes.
Sir, I want to thank you for staying with us for the whole hour. God bless you. Our very best to Melania and everyone at Mar-a-Lago and at Trump headquarters. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much, Sebastian.
God bless.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Town Hall Review. If you enjoy your podcast, take a moment, tell a friend to subscribe today. Send them to our website, townhallreview.com. I'm Hugh Hewitt. Thank you for joining us.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.